This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Every encounter.
How long do consent decrees last for?
Typically, you know, five to 10 years.
And in terms of, there has been a dip, but it's been largely as a result of all the publicity and the attention and the actual revelations as the court case proceeded, hasn't it?
That's right. I think that they know that they're under scrutiny, and they want to show that what they say is, we're slowly moving a big ship. Well, you know, it's been 14 years in the making, and they haven't moved it fast enough. And the court, I think, really has hopefully lost patience with what they're saying they can do on their own.
In 1 year recently, the number of stops and frisks was in the range of 600,000 to 700,000.
That's right. And that is an astronomical number. And we're talking about some people who have said that they've been stopped and frisked themselves upwards of 10, 20 times. It becomes routine course. It becomes a part of daily life. And that's not the way New Yorkers should live.
We want to thank you, Sunita Patel, for being with us from the Center for Constitutional Rights, co-counsel in the Stop and Frisk federal class action lawsuit. That does it for the show. Democracy Now! Is produced by a remarkable group of people. Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nirmin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Martinez DeRosa, Nima Allen. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Our website, democracynow.org.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with host Joanne Hardesty. Today's guest is Rose Highbear, director at Wisdom of the Elders, a 20-year-old activist organization that promotes health and wellness to Native peoples by using the ancient methods of storytelling to teach their principles.
Pride Northwest Incorporated is proud to announce its 2013 official Pride schedule of events for June 9th through 16th. We have a full week of exciting happenings designed to showcase and celebrate the LGBTQ community, including a Star Trek theme party, a special film screening, a comedy showcase, and a Tony Award-winning musical. The week will conclude with the 43rd annual Portland Pride Waterfront Festival and Parade, June 15th and 16th at Tom McCall Park. More information about the Portland Pride Festival and Parade can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Guantanamo Bay Prison Camp, inching towards closure. With 104 men on hunger strike, 41 of them being force-fed and 4 in the hospital, White House officials and leading senators paid a surprise visit to the camp last Friday. Obama once again says he wants to close the camp. At the same time, there's a mini troop surge going on there at the prison. Join me, Linda Olson-Osterlin, for a deeper look this Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. My guest will be Andy Worthington, UK journalist and author of The Guantanamo Files. He'll help make sense of the changing political landscape around the prison camp and bring us up to date on efforts to have the men released and the prison closed. That's this Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. right here on KBOO Community Radio.
Good morning, good morning. I am Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. It is my privilege to have in the studio today Rose Highbear, who's the director of Wisdom of the Elders. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, good morning. It's so good to see you. Thank you for inviting me.
It is my pleasure and my honor to have you here in the studio. 20 years the Wisdom of the Elders has been around.
I know it, and even longer, because we didn't incorporate for about 3 years. We really started in 1990 when we bought our first video camera.
And tell me about that. Tell me why why there was this vision about creating a Wisdom of the Elders.
Well, yeah, we weren't even thinking about creating a Wisdom of the Elders. We just wanted to go out and preserve messages of elders because my late husband was a medicine man from South Dakota. Mm-hmm. He saw the elders crossing over to the spirit world and taking their stories and their oral history with them. And so it was leaving the current generations without that wisdom and knowledge.
Oh, it is so, that is so true. It's interesting how the African American and Native culture share that tradition of storytelling. And you're absolutely right. It's like if it, because we didn't write it down, mainly because we didn't have those tools, right?
It was almost illegal for us to speak. We couldn't speak our language. We couldn't honor our traditions, especially our cultural traditions and spiritual traditions. And so the elders became quiet and the younger people got distracted. And so today we're trying to recover that. And we have probably recorded about 300 elders over the last 23 years. So 20 years is pretty exciting. We live to tell about it.
That's pretty fabulous. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. I want to let the listeners know that there's an evening with Wisdom of the Elders that's coming up next Friday, June 21st. Tell us about that.
Yes, it's our second annual evening with Wisdom of the Elders. And we are gathering at the Ainsworth Event Center at the Scottish Rite. And it's on Southwest 15th Avenue. You can go to our website and see all the details. We have a fabulous evening. The cultural programming is very special. We have Dina Dart, who's going to be, she's curator of the Native American Art Collection at the Portland Art Museum. She's our keynote speaker.
Oh, wonderful.
We have Cedar Rose performing, and that's Nico Wynn. She's an Assiniboine musician, along with Karen Kitchen. And they are singing some contemporary and traditional music.
So excellent. So on Friday, June 21st, it starts at 5:30 with a cocktail hour, and 6:30 is the gala and auction.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say that the salmon last year, oh my gosh, I thought I had died and gone to heaven when I had that salmon. It was absolutely delicious. So there's a salmon dinner again this year, which mm-hmm. is going to be great. And that's Friday, June 21st. So we'll talk a little bit more about this event. Well, mm-hmm. and I do have it listed on my website as well as on KBOO's Voices from the Edge website, as well as on my Facebook page. And we are so thrilled that KBOO is able to be a media sponsor for this event. So
yes, thank you.
We're really, really excited about it. And so so the program, this is the second year that you're doing this program, but I loved what you said about this opportunity to preserve the history, because would you tell the listening audience, why is it important that young people hear these stories?
Well, we are a people who believe very much in what they call Wachosani, which means the people shall live from generation to generation, meaning the elders pass that wisdom and knowledge down to the next generations, especially the grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And so that has been missing, and it's created a lot of problems for us, particularly with the historical trauma that we've experienced. So when there are genocidal events and different tragedies that occurred to our people, including starvation, disease, boarding schools, it created trauma for the ancestors. That's passed down in the DNA to the descendants, and we need to become aware of historical trauma and overcome that during our lifetime so we don't have to pass that down to our descendants.
That's a very interesting story. And how, it's interesting to me, do young people know about like this really egregious history in the United States? How well known is that knowledge in the Native young people?
Well, we're very fortunate that some of our young people are very much in touch with their elders and their tribe, and mm-hmm. they know their history. They mm-hmm. know their oral history. They know the different incidences of historical trauma. Then we have a lot of young people and middle-aged people who come to us and say, well, I'm Indian, but I don't know which tribe. I don't know where mm-hmm. we came from. I can't document that. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, they didn't learn their history from their elders. They didn't learn the stories, the songs, the ceremonies.
Right. Oh, we have a caller on the line, so we're going to go to the phone line. Hello, LJ. Welcome to KBOO.
Good Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, LJ. How are you today?
I am just great. It's raining in Oregon strawberries here.
Yeah, right.
Don't get no better than this. Thank you for opening up the dialogue. I want to refer our listening audience to the summer issue 2013 of Yes magazine. Mm. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am familiar with that magazine.
Okay, great. What was your guest's name?
Lois Hybear.
Hi, Ms. Hybear.
Well, hello.
Okay, there's this very interesting article in Yes magazine by Dr. Maria Yellow Horse Braveheart. Are you familiar with her work?
Very much so. She's very inspiring, a very wonderful woman. Mm-hmm. She got her dissertation. Her dissertation was on historical trauma among her people, the Hunkpapa Lakota.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she attributes a lot of the problems faced by natives as historical trauma, genocide, mm-hmm. imprisonment, forced assimilation, misgovernance, loss of cultural identity, which leads to alcoholism, poverty, and despair. And according to her article, she had this aha moment where she drew a parallel to the plight of the indigenous Americans and Jewish Holocaust survivors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you consider natives Holocaust survivors? That's the first question.
Well,
according to Yellow Horse Braveheart, there are four steps in the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
Confronting it, understanding it, trying to release your pain, and finally transcending it. So anyway, I'm referring to folks to this Yes Magazine article. And thank you for the show, and I'll take any response that you have off the air.
Thanks for the call, LJ.
And have a great day.
You too.
I'm just so happy that he found that article. I wasn't aware of it, but I have five of her research articles that she's written. We have studied them all.
Oh, very
and,
cool.
And I was on Standing Rock in 1990, and that was the 100-year centenary of Wounded Knee.
Oh.
And she got a lot of her background information from the personal pain that her elders were going through as they did the Bigfoot ride. And so there had been the massacre at Wounded Knee.
Let me get you some water.
Oh, certainly. They reenact that every year, and they ride from Standing Rock down to Wounded Knee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frequently in 40 degree weather.
Wow.
So it's a huge suffering, but they found healing in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But she found that the elders were really focused on their ancestors. They were grieving. And that's what led her to write her PhD and to do all this important historical trauma work. So we followed her very closely.
Wow. Wow, that sounds very interesting. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
At other duties as assigned under engineer, huh?
Yes, thank you for the water. And so she, not used to talking this early.
No worry.
So she created a nonprofit corporation that started doing sessions among her people. And those four steps are very important for us to be aware of.
Wonderful.
It creates healing because we can heal.
Right.
And we have to remember that we have to pray for our ancestors in the spirit world. We believe very much in Great Spirit and in our ancestors. And we know that they rely upon our prayers for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can heal from historical trauma in the spirit world. And it actually makes a shift in our own life. And so we're very involved with our ceremonies to do that.
Excellent. We have another caller on the line. Good morning, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, welcome.
Yeah, hello. Listen, people, I've been asking myself a question for some years, and I believe there's no real honest answer to it. Why, after all these years, information, books, stories, history, we should have been hearing about and learning about years ago.
Thank you.
And all of a sudden, they're, why we didn't know about all these things, history, all these books being written, all this information we should have had. And I don't want a response or an answer because there is no honest one. Goodbye.
Well, thank you, Joanne. I'd say there really is an answer, and the answer is victors write books. The people who've been conquered don't get to write the books to frame the story. Did you have a response to that?
And first of all, we're an oral tradition people, so we share in our close circle. And many of us secluded after the trauma. Mm-hmm. We seclude. We sort of hide. There are 45,000 Native Americans in Portland.
Wow.
We're the ninth largest Native American community, urban community in America.
Wow.
But we don't always gather together in one place. And
right.
So, but I have to say that we have some fabulous leaders in Portland. We have, I believe it's almost 30 Native American nonprofits in Portland. We're all working to help our people.
Wow, that's impressive.
But we are the most impoverished community of all cultural groups in Portland. And that's hard to overcome.
When the Coalition for Communities of Color came out with their specific book on Native populations, it was mind-boggling.
Shocking.
It was absolutely shocking. And there's one statistic that just sticks in my brain. And I remembered that in single-parent-headed households, the poverty rate was 100%. I was like, that can't be. That's got to be an error, right? Somebody wrote that wrong, right?
Well, I really have to acknowledge Nicole Maher for her work with this, and Matt Morton is carrying it on as the executive director of NAIA.
Yes.
And I work with NAIA. They're a fabulous partner to work with. We are so committed together to help our young people, and all generations gather when we gather. So it isn't just that we're helping our youth, but we're helping our families to reunite, because we were a family people, and we were multi-generational, so that the elders were extremely important to us. And so NAIA and other organizations like NARA, we have the National Indian Child Welfare Association here in Portland, and Terry Cross.
That's right.
It's just we're surrounded by exceptional people. Karen Kitchen with Title VII Indian Education in Portland. You know, I could go on and on. These people are brilliant people, and they are helping us to overcome these disparities. But right now, we continue to be afflicted with mental health issues. It's mostly depression, but sometimes suicide. We have the addictions, mostly alcohol. Mm-hmm. We have, other issues affecting us, especially type 2 diabetes. So we are, to kind of discuss the caller's comment, we are developing curriculum of the history of our people. You can get it at our website, wisdomoftheelders.org. Under Discovering Our Story, we've recorded 36 Native people, and they tell their story. They tell their family story and their tribal history, and they discuss the different incidences of historical trauma. Then in the second video, this is video, of course, we're oral tradition, we tell how they overcame that in their lifetime to become a community leader, role model.
Oh, that's fabulous. If you're just joining us, I am talking to Rose Hybear, the director of Wisdom of the Elders, and we are talking about lots of things, but we're also talking about an event that KBOO is co-sponsoring, an evening with Wisdom of the Elders Gala Fundraiser, which will be Friday, June 21st at the Ainsworth Event Center at the Scottish Rite at 709 Southwest 15th Avenue. All that information is on KBOO's website, as well as Voices from the Edge Facebook page. We would love it if you could come. I want to read what your website says as your mission statement. It says, our mission, committed to Native American cultural sustainability, multimedia education, and race reconciliation, Wisdom of the Elders, Inc., records and preserves the oral history, cultural arts, language concepts, and traditional ecological knowledge of exemplary American Indian historians, cultural leaders, and environmentalists, in collaboration with arts and cultural organizations and educational institutions. We especially seek to correct misconceptions, prejudice, bring health and wellness to Native people, and demonstrate how Indian culture has a continuing is continuing to enrich our works. What a fabulous mission statement that is.
I love it.
I love it too. That is an absolutely fabulous mission statement.
It has evolved in front of me as I've worked away over the years. It's just so exciting to step into this world. I was kind of pulled out of my homeland of Alaska. I was born in McGrath, Alaska, on the Kuskokwim River.
Right.
And I'm Athabascan, so we're the interior people. We're the caribou people of Alaska. Our proper name is Deghaton Dene. You know, but most people know us as Athabascan or the Caribou people. And so at a young age, I was brought to Oregon and raised by the white side of the family. And I think, you know, that caused a couple decades of culture shock and abandonment syndrome for me.
Oh, wow.
I was pretty lost. Mm-hmm. I could not reconnect for a long time. And then after I moved or came back to Alaska in 1970, I was able to meet my family. I had 8 brothers and sisters. And the whole world opened up to me again.
And so why were you sent to Oregon to live with the other side of your family?
There was a divorce in the family.
Oh, there was
a divorce. Yeah, and my father was a U.S. Marshal up there in the bush. He was flying 3 or 4 days out of McGrath to take care of other villages in the area, even all the way to Bethel.
Ah.
And so he couldn't take care of me, but he did get custody. He knew how to do the paperwork. He brought me to Oregon, and so that was not, they didn't consult me about that.
Didn't ask your opinion.
But I think really, you know, there's a destiny. There's a destiny for everybody. Mm-hmm. We all have a destiny. We were created for a reason, and it's a beautiful destiny. We have to really explore that. So I did. You know, I started turning to sweat lodges. There were sweat lodges going on around Portland and started sweating going on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of found my destiny. My work is very precious to me. And I am getting more staff these days, by the way.
Oh, good, good.
And I'm not having to do all the work. And so, you know, we're growing and progressing and doing a lot of fabulous things.
So 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I am talking to Rose Hybear, the director of Wisdom of the Elders. What is the biggest misperception that you've heard over your years of working with Native communities? What's the biggest misperception that you think the white community or other communities have?
I think it's a lack of information. Hmm. And I do think a lot of people are very interested in Native culture, but they really can't find the true story.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of good books out there, but I think the misperception is just simply lack of experience working with Native people and lack of education about our history.
Mm-hmm.
I think if people were aware of our history, particularly prior to first contact, as we lived our life in such a beautiful way, the earth was so pure. There was very little, you know, destruction because we took care of it. We knew we had to rely on the world of nature to live.
Right.
The salmon, the deer, the elk, all of the medicines and the berries, the roots, we took care of them. They were very precious to us. We never took advantage of them or over-harvested because we did go through periods of starvation when there was an absence of something. And so I think if we can offer our life, our ideal life, when we lived in that golden age, you know, the Greek had their golden age.
Right.
Well, Indians did too.
Mm.
We had our golden life. And so the way we lived is really the way people are meant to live on the earth. It is our oldest grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be in connection with it to heal. We need to be in connection with it to learn how to relate with it and take care of it.
It's interesting that you're so right that the Native population started with a real close connection to the earth. The further away from the earth that Native populations have come, the worse their physical, mental, and spiritual health has become. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, and I just have to say we never poisoned our waters. We never built our homes right on the water.
Ah.
We were back a ways.
Mm-hmm.
Water was a very powerful healing spirit to us, a feminine healing spirit. And after first contact, they started putting factories along the water, putting a lot of pollutants in the water, to
right.
the point today you have places like the Portland Harbor Superfund site.
That's right.
We're actively working for that to be cleaned up because we need our rivers to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
They have to post signs along that part of the Willamette River, "Do not eat this fish."
That's right.
So what is happening there? We have to wake up We really do have to take a look at our lives and what we're doing and make sure that we're taking care of our world of nature.
We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Lee. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm European in background, and somewhere in the early 80s, I came across a book called God is Red by Vine Deloria, Jr., and it completely changed my thinking, especially about the importance of the earth as being sacred. And I continued my reading, and recently I came across a book by Daniel Wildcat.
Oh, wonderful.
Entitled Red Alert, Saving the Planet with Indigenous Knowledge.
Mm.
And one of the things that just absolutely blew my mind that Daniel Wildcat talked about was the experiential knowledge of Native peoples. And when I thought about that and realized that they have lived in areas for tens of thousands of years, and all those multiple generations and multiple, you know, the huge numbers of people living there and the accumulated knowledge that they have, and Europeans more or less completely disregarded it, and what we need to do is listen to Native peoples and hear their experiential knowledge about how to live on this earth.
Mm, thank you.
Thank you so much for your call.
I know Daniel Wildcat. He was very close with Vine Deloria, Jr. All the Deloria books are really wonderful. And his great aunt was the first Native American anthropologist in America, Ella Deloria. I have read her material, too.
Wonderful.
Well, Daniel Wildcat, as far as I'm concerned, you know, talked about the importance. He made it essential for me to know that we have to listen to the wisdom of Native peoples.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. Have a great day.
So Daniel formed the Alaska Native and American Indian Climate Change Working Group and meets twice a year in different parts of the country.
Wow.
And, you know, we're video producers.
Right.
We were in Alaska when he had his Climate Change Working Group up in Anchorage. And so we got to video record that, and we're sharing those with him and his colleagues so they can use it in the classroom at the tribal schools.
Very cool.
We really take our hats off to him because of what he's doing for climate change.
503-231-8187. It's such a natural for the Native community to be concerned about climate change because...
Well, also, we are America's first scientists. And we have lived here for thousands of years.
So you probably have a little bit more insight.
We have endured a lot of natural disasters, and it didn't make us extinct. We are still here. And so what we've learned, the resilience we've increased our resilience over the thousands of years. It was about 10,500 years ago that our people came across during another climate change.
Mm.
My family was at that time in Siberia. I don't know if you know it or not, but our Athabascan language is not just spoken by the tribes along the Washington-Oregon coast into California and among the Apache and Navajo, but it's also the dialect is in Siberia, Mongolia, and among the Tibetans, what they call Sino-Tibetans.
Wow.
So we have traveled, and I just have to give a disclaimer for the Bering Sea theory, which people thought we all came across from there. No, we didn't come from there, but we were coming across there again 10,500 years ago. It was just at another time of climate change, and we did endure that. We did survive.
Right.
We followed the caribou across when they couldn't find enough food to eat on that side.
Well, you've survived a lot as a people, no doubt about that. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I'm talking to Rose Highbear, and we want to encourage you, if you would like to, attend an evening with Wisdom of the Elders on Friday, June 21st at the Ainsworth Event Center at the Scottish Rite at 709 Southwest 15th Avenue. Activities start at 5:30 p.m., and there will be a gala, an auction, a salmon dinner, and lots of good stuff, and cultural programs. And we're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, John. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you, Joanne, for having this guest on. I've never heard her speak before, but I'd love it if you'd invite her back as often as possible.
I definitely will try to make that happen.
Anyway, speaking of books, I remember reading, and I don't remember the author's name right now, maybe you'll know, Other Council Fires Were Before Ours or something like that.
Wow.
It's a grandmother and a granddaughter wrote the book together, deciphering a stone that was in their, I think it's the Seneca tribe, it was in their tribe for who knows how long, and the stone told them the history and the future of the world in this book they wrote down. And it's a very fascinating book. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is locally, I live up on the East Fork of the Lewis River out of Battleground, I didn't even find out why it was called Battleground until recently. It was mocking some general for not actually having a battle. It was a mocking. So they named the area Battleground out of that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
We all learned something.
the other thing I wanted to touch on is I've noticed I've only been living around here. I was living in Portland. I've only been around here for about 8 years now, and I've noticed the wildlife suddenly disappearing recently.
Mm.
It isn't just the bees.
Mm.
Last year I took up videography, and I saw kingfishers all the time. They're very elusive, but now I've only heard one once this
season,
spring and summer.
Wow!
And so they're just not they're going away because the river's dying. And another thing locally, I found out. I asked the neighbor.
I'm gonna have to ask you to make this your last one more thing.
I will.
Okay.
I know. I'm sorry. We could talk all day.
I know.
One last thing. I asked a neighbor, is there any big virgin trees around here? He said, I only know of one. And he told me where it was. I rode my bike over there, and it's about 50 feet off the road, and nobody even notices it. It's like it's not that hard to spot. There's no trail to it, nothing. Nobody even notices. This is the only tree. If you hike around here, it's just rape after rape after rape of the landscape.
Well, you know what we're doing at Wisdom of the Elders. We have a summer field science camp this summer, and we're training 25 native youth in climate change and environmental restoration. So
Very
we're
cool.
taking the whole month of July. We're working with NEA, and they're bringing their youth over. And we have, today as we're talking, we have our curriculum writers working on the curriculum for the summer. We're talking about Alaska climate change, and then we're switching over to Portland metropolitan area climate change. And you would think that we would be pretty safe here. You know, we have an abundance of good earth for farming mm-hmm. and gardening.
Mm-hmm.
We have good rainfall. And just yesterday, they shut off water from some of the Klamath River. You know, we are eventually going to have climate refugees moving into our area.
Yes.
Because they simply cannot live elsewhere. And so we are training our Native youth because we truly believe that Native people need to have a voice in climate change science today. However, our science is different. We have traditional ecological knowledge that we include in our view of science.
Mm-hmm.
And we value the astute observations of our elders. They can talk about where they grew up, and they can tell what their grandfather and grandmother said about it.
Right.
And so there's a lot of value in knowing the original state of our land, and then we get to work to restore it.
That sounds fabulous. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Mitch. Welcome
to Cable.
Yes,
I wanted to add my voice of thanks for having Ms. Hybear on the program, and again, hope that she comes back on other programs as well to express these views.
Thank you.
I had one question and then a second question. The first question is, did I hear Ms. Hybear say that in her Athabascan language, her name, the name is Dega Tandane?
Degha Tandane. We're Dene people like the Apache and Navajo.
That answered my question. I wondered if that was the same linguistic family.
At last year's gala, I told the story of how our people traveled from the subarctic down to become relatives with the Navajo and Apache.
Now, you did that without Amtrak?
Yeah, that would have saved a lot of lives.
And a lot of time.
But there's a lot of stories.
Mm.
of that journey of how our people left. I just have to say I'm so proud to be Athabascan because our people were attacked by a neighboring band at that time, and we did not seek retribution for the death of our warriors. We stepped away from the conflict, and I think there's something to be said for that in today's world.
Absolutely. Boy, could we use more of that message.
Amen.
My second question, and then I'll get off the phone, is that in hearing you speak about the wisdom of the tradition of not building villages right on the water,
mm-hmm.
And now here we are in what I guess we'd have to call not quite post-industrial America, and we have a city supervisor who got elected just this past year, Steve Novick,
mm-hmm.
who in running for the city council in Portland suggested that the EPA would be wasting its money by dredging the, I believe it's dioxin that's in the silt at the bottom of the river. He says that there is no way to effectively remove that, and it would just be a huge make-work project that would lose a lot of money out of the public coffers.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I know Steve. I've spoken with him. We just shared emails a couple days ago, and I would love to have a conversation with him, because we simply, as Native people, we can't accept that.
Mm. I really hope you can do it on KBOO, because I don't think the alternative press, such as it exists, the two weekly papers in town, ever feel like holding people like Novick to their feet to the fire, because out of one side of his mouth he speaks being progressive and thinking about the future. On the other side of his mouth, he's not moving any of the factories off the river.
Well, I have great respect for him, and I'm looking forward to working with him. We're getting out our video cameras this summer. We're going down to the river, and we're going to video record people talking about that, including some of the tribal elders around this area.
And let me say, he's only been there for 6 months, so, you know, he's a new kid on the block, and mm-hmm. I think the more info he gets, the better commissioner he could possibly be.
His ears are open.
I'd like to hear what he has to say. It's just that so far, no one in front of a microphone or camera has asked him the key questions. So.
We've been too quiet. We really need to speak up.
Yes. And I'm not trashing him. I just think that these people need to be held accountable for their views, especially mm-hmm. when their views to one community contradict their views to another community.
That's absolutely true. And I'm not suggesting that you are giving him a hard time. Actually, mm-hmm. My world is giving politicians a hard time, so that mm-hmm. would never interfere with me. Thank you so much for your call.
Steve, keep on just doing.
Okay, have a good day.
Steve just helped us to restore the community watershed program at the city of Portland. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. Well, I mean, as you know, I don't mind beating up on politicians, but I figure if you're 6 months in the job, mm-hmm. maybe there's good things in your future. Back to the phone line. Hello, Mike. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody that we're all Native. Some have just forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Anything else?
Oh, sure. personal experience and some encouragement for like these getting different cultures together.
I think there's
a wonderful opportunity. My own personal experience, this is just one of many.
Hmm.
I was at Pioneer Square years ago, and they were having an overflow book sale from Powell's.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the tent set up on the bricks and tables and tables and tables and tables of books. I'd been there about a half hour walking, scanning. Getting inspired by a lot of titles and books.
Right.
And there was one book I had to pick up, and the title was, What If Earth is Christ?
Hmm.
And I just became so emotional just with the truth of that question and what we did to this character of the Christ in the stories, and those stories are powerful in the world today, and that translates so well. And what if the earth is the Christ? And it just made me weep, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a powerful question. All right.
Yeah. So I want to share that, and also, okay, how about
no, stop,
how about art? There's an artist
it's called last one. Okay. One more. Strongbow, right?
Yeah, the artist named Strongbow.
Okay.
And I don't know if you could find him online. I hope you can, but he sells prints up in Seattle, a Pioneer Place. And he overlaps these beautiful drawings of, like I'm looking at one now of in Seattle, where there's a couple, native couple, in a birch bark canoe, and they are going downstream, and the woman's rowing and steering and in the street and in the pavement. And then the husband has his bow out, and he's hunting. And they're going along the old stream bed, which is now the sewer bed. You know, like the
right.
The sewer drains at the top of the street, and then it's in the cityscape with all the cars going around and Rifkin's Jewelers in the background and all that, and Nordstrom in the background. He has 100 of these different thoughts and images, and I just love them.
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you for your call. Have a good day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I'm talking to Rose Hybear, who's the director of Wisdom of the Elders. And Wisdom of the Elders is having a gala on Friday, June 21st at the Ainsworth Event Center at the Scottish Rite at 709 Southwest 12th Avenue, 15th Avenue.
Can I just share that we are, as a Native American, we have a lot of low-income friends, and I just ask our board of directors if we could provide forever whoever purchases a ticket that they bring a guest for free.
Ah, and they said so yes?
They did.
Very cool. Yes. Very cool.
Yes, so we wanted to make sure that all of our friends can join us down there that night. We have so many beautiful things to talk about. I'm talking about Alaska and climate change and my caribou people. I just don't want people to miss that.
Oh, yes. You want a full house for that conversation.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that came up earlier when we were talking was about, when we were talking about your mission statement, was this idea of racial reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to talk a little bit about that because mm-hmm. my experience has been people want to get to reconciliation, but they don't want to do the knowledge, the truth part, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so... can you talk a little bit about your work around racial reconciliation, what that looks like? Because I think we need much more of that work. But my concern is that people want to get right to, okay, let's just all be one, rather than actually dealing with the pain and the conflict that come that's at the front end of that.
We do need healing for mm-hmm. that to happen. But we are all related. You know, mm-hmm. we have the medicine wheel with the four colors of people,
mm-hmm.
and we can... I guess you could say on a spiritual level, acknowledge that. On a relationship level, there's still a lot of disparities. Mm-hmm. And so we have suffered so much. So many cultures have suffered so much.
Right.
And they have to heal in order to reconcile. And I think that we have been working very hard to share the beauty of Native culture with our community, with our greater community.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe with that understanding, they'll have greater respect.
Right.
And appreciation for what it is that we contribute. And mm-hmm. that opens their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will open their minds, too.
Yeah, so, we hope.
Yeah, and so, but we need to heal also because right. there's an anger in some people that makes it hard to reconcile with them. It's
yes.
hard to approach people who are bitter.
Right.
We
right.
have to remove the bitterness, all the pain from ourselves in order to have a healthy relationship with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's, you know, it's mind, body, spirit, and emotions. We all have to keep that in balance.
I think that is the challenge. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Ed. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you for this wonderful show. It's really, really been great. And so I had a question, which was your caller had your guest mentioned that her people, the Athabascan people, have roots all the way back to Tibet. And I wonder, is there any reincarnation tradition in Native American spirituality?
I'm not sure exactly what you mean, but I think that not necessarily the way that it's interpreted by many people today. I have ancestry, and they are now my spirit helpers. Some of them are now my spirit helpers. I have a spirit helper, and usually we don't talk about spirituality in public like this, but just to help the understanding, because this does help people to have a more understanding and respect for our ways. That I have an ancestor called Black Raven. I have another ancestor called White Raven Grandmother, and they sort of watch over me. Mm-hmm. You may have read books and seen movies and gotten a bit of a picture about that, but they work in our lives to help us, whether they're doctoring us, protecting us, guiding us. I think I said protecting us. And so we work with them like that. And so they're not reincarnated back into our lives, but they have a connection with us. And sometimes that connection can confuse people because we are us. Our spirit was created at conception, and we're not a reincarnation of them, but we are connected with them. So sometimes we see their qualities in our life. So that's a bit of a distinction.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, well,
it raises
I
more
really
questions.
Appreciate you sharing. Yeah, it was really beautiful. And thank you.
Thank you. We really appreciate your call.
Awesome.
Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Mary. Welcome to Cable. I was just going to say, where are the women this morning? It's like the men have taken over the airwaves. Thank you, Mary.
Yes, good morning. And I'm Mary Jane from Sweet Home, so you probably don't get many calls from Sweet Home.
Oh, well, that's even better, right?
Yes.
Thank you for calling.
Okay. Thank you for your guest. And I did want to mention, I've always respected Mother Earth, and I like your previous callers, what they were saying. But I did attend... last summer at Still Point Farms, the Mother Earth Festival in Veneta, and they had the 13 indigenous grandmothers,
mm-hmm.
Rita Blumenfeld, and...
Mm-hmm, I know her.
Okay, she's I wondered if you could speak a little about them off the air when I hang up.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I
Thank
could
you.
Just say right now, because I'll have to leave right after the show, but I know
no,
Rita
she meant
very well.
She was going to hang up, and then we would just keep talking, and she
oh,
could hear.
Oh, yes, Rita Blumenstein. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know her. She's a Yupik elder, and she's a healer, a very, very short and very powerful little lady. And she joined with Agnes Pilgrim and all of the other grandmothers a few years ago. They've been traveling around and teaching. And I've been to one of their gatherings. They asked me to speak about discovering our story when they met over in Lincoln City. So mm-hmm. I got to meet them all. And I am honored to be friends with Grandmother Agnes Pilgrim. The work they're doing is very important.
That sounds fabulous. You know, let's talk a little bit about you are also involved in a TV project, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And a TV project is about obtaining and preserving these stories, right?
Yes, we're always trying to find ways to preserve the messages of our elders. And so a few years ago, we were starting a project called Discovering Our Story, mm-hmm. and we recorded 36 elders from the Pacific Northwest over the last 3 or 4 years, and we recorded their messages and shared their history, tribal history, types of historical trauma, and then how they overcame that. So that became curriculum. And we wanted to provide that to as many people as possible. So we had an opportunity to do a television show at Portland Community Media TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are first Sunday of every month now. We come down to PCM and do a live program. And then it's rebroadcast twice. It's on Channel 11, Comcast 11.
Wonderful.
1 p.m. in the afternoon. You're welcome to tune in. You
on
can even
Sunday.
Come down to PCM. We have a space for the audience.
Oh, very cool. Very
and so
cool.
The purpose of that is to let the world know about historical trauma. It's a historical trauma awareness project.
Oh.
We want our people to heal. And if they can become aware of the sources of the issues that their mm-hmm. ancestors faced, their parents, grandparents, and all the way back, they will have more understanding of why they were raised in a family that was so troubled.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of troubles, and we are overcoming them. But the more we're aware, the more we can create healing for our children and grandchildren.
Well, I want to say that last year at the gala, it was so heartwarming, the storytelling and the multi-generational storytelling. It's pretty phenomenal to see that young people are definitely, young natives are embracing the traditions and learning at the feet of their elders. I mean, that's just knowledge that they wouldn't be able to get in any book. They wouldn't be able to get by going to any conference. And it was just really wonderful to see the interaction of the, as you say, it's everything you do is multi-generational, which is different for us, right? And most in the U.S. culture, especially in the predominant culture, you know, you don't see the interaction, the almost the fellowship that's multi-generational like that.
Well, that's why the houses were so large in Portland.
Yes.
All of the generations lived together there.
And it makes a difference.
What would we do without our grandmothers?
Exactly.
And especially in today's world, the women and the men are working.
Right.
Who's taking care of the children?
Who takes care of the children?
So the grandparents, and if we're lucky, the great-grandparents are there.
Right. And you're right. That's if we're lucky. 503-231-8187. We just have a few minutes left in the program. If you have a quick question you want to get in for Rose Hybear, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And so I want you to intrigue me about the auction. What kind of items are we looking at or can we expect at the auction?
Well, we have a silent auction, and guess what? Bill Ray, our host, is doing a live auction.
Oh.
Now, he's not a fast talker like those auctioneers,
right.
But we're going to do a live auction of four or five pieces of art that have been created for this auction or given to this auction.
Wonderful.
And so we have an old Oscar Howe print that's worth about, I don't know how much it's worth, $1,800. They turned that offer down a few years ago, but Oscar Howe was a contemporary Native artist back in the 50s. And so he was around the University of South Dakota. Building is named after him over there, the theater, I believe.
Oh, wonderful.
So he's a very famous artist. And we have other art from local artists, Toma Villa. We have T.J. Ravenwolf. He's my Athabascan brother, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's off, headed off for his vision quest, but he's trying to get back in time because we want all of our artists to be there to speak with the audience. It's fun to meet them and talk with them and see their work. Get your picture taken with them.
Yes. Well,
and we have a silent auction, too, that has, I don't know, 50, 75. I'm afraid I've lost track. But we have some out-of-town trips. We have a fabulous weekend stay at the Presidential Suite at the Benson Hotel.
Oh, nice.
And along with that comes, I believe, the Portland Art Museum and one other museum. So we have a weekend that we're creating for someone in town, out of town, everywhere. Casino packages.
Wonderful. And so it definitely sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. I was trying to remember, my husband's going to be crazy with me. Last year, I got a original piece of art that mm-hmm. was created just for the program.
Yes.
And we won it. And do you remember the...
T.J. Ravenwolf, was it?
I don't think it was. No, it was a woman.
Toma Villa. Oh.
And she's local. She's from Oregon. You remember?
Lillian Pitt,
there you go.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes,
I hope she will be there. I'm going to call her, make sure she knows she's invited.
Oh, yes. We treasure. And in fact, I got it. It was you were doing a raffle. And we won it.
You won the golden ticket.
We won the golden ticket. And we also won the ticket, won the prize to...
Mexico?
To Mexico, yes, we did.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. So we were just, and I never win anything. So, and all of a sudden I won everything.
It
was good. It was my day. We have a caller on the line. Hello, Marty. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you. I just want to say to the lady that I have a Bible that is over 100 years old, which it was falling apart. And that was great grandma. Of my ex-husband,
mm-hmm.
The grandma of my ex-husband,
right.
And her last name was C, like cat, it is coarse, C-O-R-S, mm-hmm. And I got it put together to a company that bound books.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mother-in-law died, her daughter says, my ex-husband was her grandson. And I got a picture in the house of her and her husband.
Huh.
And she says, who wants this Bible? I say, I do. And I read it every day. And I got it fixed, you know, when rebound again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I wanted.
Our spiritual traditions are very important to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, ma'am, I tell you, and she wrote some things inside, too. Not because I don't understand it, just her writing. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, you know, if it's a W or a N or M, you know.
Right.
But mm-hmm. It's always by my nightstand,
mm-hmm.
and I read it every day because I love God too.
And wonderful.
And you treasure this connection to the to the history, right?
Yes, and I remember when he divorced me for somebody else, we had this beautiful baking bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, he took that.
He got the baking bowl, but you got the history. I think you got the better end of the deal.
I think so too. Because, I think yes, that is everything.
Yes, it is. Thank you for your call.
And I thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too.
Warms my heart. Okay, we got one more caller. We're gonna squeak in. I do believe. No, Steve said, no, that is not so. Well, okay, so we were talking about the fabulous oil auction, and there will be a silent auction.
And our board is offering anyone who buys a ticket to bring a guest for free. We buy have to one, remember that for my friends.
Buy one, bring a guest, and so you just bring your guests.
Please join
us. Bring your ticket and bring your guests.
We're talking about climate change. We're talking about Athabascans. We're telling stories. There's a bit of a creation story we're telling about the Caribou people.
Ah, wonderful. We're building community. We're building relationships. Yes. We're meeting new friends, old friends. It sounds like it's going to be a fabulous, fabulous event.
I hope you and Dave can join us.
I hope so, too. I will. We will certainly try. I mean, it was such a fabulous event last year. I can't imagine not being there this year.
And you've got to join us at our storytelling festival, too. We started something there, too.
Yes. And when is that?
That's right. It's in October 17th to the 20th.
Oh, fabulous. Now, that's another really fabulous experience. Well, mm-hmm. I want you to know that I certainly look forward to more opportunities for us to work together because, we're working on the same issues, just doing them from different perspectives. Uh-huh. And so,
I would love to come back. This is a great conversation, and the questions are great. I didn't get a chance to answer them all.
We've got a pretty cool audience out there of KBOO folks. People understand the importance of building community. So again, mm-hmm. Both on KBOO's website, / Voices from the Edge, as well as Facebook, you can get all the information about the gala, or you could go directly to wisdomoftheelders.org. And
either one,
and all that info will be available at your fingertips.
And we shall meet on summer solstice.
And we should meet on summer solstice. It has been a pleasure to have you here, Rose Highbear. And we will certainly take the advice of our callers and have you come back sometime soon.
Oh, thank you, Joanne.
This has been Voices from the Edge. I will see you next week, same time, same place, same station. Have a fabulous day. Thank you.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an
everybody feel high.
Hey, good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Just about a minute now before 9 o'clock. Coming up at 9:30 on KBOO, on A Deeper Look, host Linda Olson Osterlund interviews journalist Andy Worthington about the Guantanamo Bay prison camp. Will it ever close? At 10, we hear flashpoints. The focus is on the battle for meaningful immigration reform. And we hear more about the dangers of the NSA bugging scandal. At 11, on Between the Covers, host Sarika Mehta interviews Khaled Hosseini about his new book, And the Mountains Echoed, a multi-generational novel that follows its characters around the globe. And at 11:30, it's Words and Pictures. Editorial cartoonist Jack Oman spent nearly three decades at the Oregonian. We'll hear his talk at the Oregon Historical Society about art, politics, and the allure of the Pacific Northwest. But first, in just about a minute, it's Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. Stay tuned. That's next on KBOO.
Peace, this is Mike Crenshaw. I want to invite you to come out to see Long Distance Revolutionary, a documentary about Mumia Abu-Jamal. This film chronicles his life as a revolutionary, a writer, a journalist, a philosopher, and an inspiration to people worldwide. It's showing June 14th at the Clinton Street Theater. That's a Friday night.
At 7 p.m.
That starts the week-long run of Long Distance Revolutionary in Portland. KBOO is proud to bring you this event, and I hope to see you there.
Guantanamo Bay Prison Camp, inching towards closure. With 104 men on hunger strike, 41 of them being force-fed and four in the hospital, White House officials and leading senators paid a surprise visit to the camp last Friday. Obama once again says he wants to close the camp. At the same time, there's a mini troop surge going on there at the prison. Join me, Linda Olson Osterlund, for a deeper look this Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. My guest will be Andy Worthington, UK journalist and author of The Guantanamo Files. He'll help make sense of the changing political landscape around the prison camp and bring us up to date on efforts to have the men released and the prison closed. That's this Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. right here on KBOO Community Radio.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation.